Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're examining the book of Hebrews, if you've been with us. If this is your first episode, that's great. I welcome you. Thank you so much. We're in the fifth chapter right now. You might want to back up and start from the beginning. These things are relatively short. Try to keep them under 10 minutes, right? And to get the flow of what's going on. Because in the Word of God, it's really important to see the immediate context and the fuller context of everything. But if you want to jump in right here, that's great. I'm going to start in the fifth verse of the fifth chapter of Hebrews. We've already covered up through the first 10 verses, but I just want to remind us where we are as we go into the last four verses of this chapter, because these are passages that quite often people will describe as troublesome, problematic, difficult to understand, et cetera, et cetera. And I will grant you there are things here that makes you wonder, go, okay, what's this about? What is this about? But I don't think it's as difficult as we make it to be. The difficulty lies with what the Word says in contrast to what I think, okay, or what I think I know, or what I think I have been told in the past, or what I think I have been taught. And we'll use other portions of Scripture to make just a dogmatic statement. And then we encounter verses like this, and we say, well, that just doesn't line up with what I thought from over here, so I'm going to stick with over there. And we think there's a conflict here, and there really isn't. We just need to pay attention to what's going on. So here's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5, says this. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Just as he says also in another passage, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And so we see that Jesus Christ is of the line and of the order of Melchizedek, whatever that is. We've learned some about Melchizedek. We checked out some cross references, saw what was spoken of him in the Old Testament. Now, and we'll learn more as we go along. Let me read the next few verses here, because it says that the Lord was designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11, the very next verse, says this: concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? So, who's being addressed here? Who's he talking about? Concerning him, we have much to say. Who is the him? Let me look at the other translations here, the other English versions. The ESV says, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Well, that's a little different take on it. You know, is the him, according to New American Standard, is it the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it Melchizedek? It's one of those two. In the ESV, about this we have much to say. So it's sort of the idea of Jesus being designated by God as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Let's see what the lexicon says. Concerning this, we have much to say, and it's difficult to explain. Let me see the King James. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So, well, the New American Standard, it says concerning him, and the him isn't capitalized. So that's letting you know that they're sort of thinking that, okay, this is speaking of Melchizedek. And it is, it's speaking of the order of Melchizedek. Okay. And you don't want to draw too sharp a line between what's going on here anyway, because the idea being that Jesus is the great high priest, but he is of a different priestly order than what you see in the Mosaic law, Levitical law, under the Aaronic priesthood. Jesus is a different one, and he's different in the same way that Melchizedek was different. Well, what did we learn about Melchizedek? Melchizedek was the king of Salem, which became Jerusalem, Salem, but he was also the priest of the Most High God. He was a king and a priest. Throughout the Old Testament in the nation of Israel, you did not have kings who were priests or priests who were kings. Now, you had kings who wanted to be priests. You had priests who wanted to be kings. You had that kind of stuff, but you didn't have that. But what's being said here is that Jesus is of this order, of this line of thought, as Melchizedek was the king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. The Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings, and the Lord of the Lord is the great high priest. So let me just share one more verse here. I thought we'd get through all four of them, but apparently we won't. You know, sometimes we just talk too long, right? So he's designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, verse 11, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So what was the problem? Well, the problem is this. The writer had a lot to say about this, a lot to say about Jesus being of the order of Melchizedek. And that lot to say would give more insight into the Lord Jesus Christ. He would give us more insight and understanding about Melchizedek and what this all means. He says, I've got a lot more to say about this, much more to say. And it's hard to explain. Well, why is it hard to explain? Is it hard to explain because of the subject matter? No, not necessarily. He tells us why. And it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Lexham says sluggish of hearing. Everything else I got up here in front of me says dull of hearing. They had become dull of hearing. And that word dull literally means dull. It means sluggish. It means slothful. And I'll tell you what, folks, that word slothful is a word that I use quite frequently in speaking about contemporary Western church leadership. Okay, just flat out slothful. In the vernacular, lazy. Okay, just lazy. Lazy in day-to-day deeds. Lazy in the Word of God. Okay, lazy in just knowing the Word of God, much less digging it out and really spending time understanding what's being said. The leadership today is extremely slothful. And I know I'm painting a very broad brush, but folks, it's the majority of them. Okay? I would be very hard pressed to name more than a handful of people that I know that are in church leadership, I mean top church leadership, that are not slothful in their approach to the Word of God. Too often, they just rest upon denominational distinctives, or they rest upon what they learned 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. More often than not, they rest upon what they've downloaded. So they're going to download a sermon, they're going to tweak it a little bit and put in some personal vignettes, you know, little things here or there, you know, make it sound like they've actually written this, and they didn't. With that kind of leadership, here's what happens. The people become dull of hearing. Now, the writer of Hebrews is letting them know they have become dull of hearing. They had not been dull of hearing initially because they had received the word, and they had received it with joy. And they were pressing on even in the midst of trials and tribulations. But now they had become dull of hearing. And there were problems that arose because of that. Well, my time is up. We'll deal with those problems in the next episode, okay? Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you then. Goodbye.